Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the quarterly stakeholder call. We're trying to resolve a couple of minor technical issues. We'll be starting in just a couple of minutes.
Hello?
Shireen?
Yes, hello.
All right, Shireen, we hear you fine.
Can you hear me fine? Okay, I can work on that. I also have the Adobe in front of me, so when you want me to speak, you can let me know.
All right, Shireen, thank you.
That's great.
We're wide open right now, so I'd like to start the call now that we've resolved that connection. We've got a good connection with you, Shireen. To everybody online, we've now got connection with one of our presenters, which we've been waiting for. Hello, and welcome to our quarterly stakeholder call for the second quarter of fiscal year 2017. I'm Brad White, ICANN's Director of Communications for North America. Now, before I lay out the agenda for this call, I'd like to make a couple of quick points. As most of you know, in order to better facilitate participation across all of ICANN's global regions, we try to vary the times of these calls. The reason this particular call is occurring at 1500 UTC is so we can hopefully increase participation from the regions of Africa and the Middle East. Later in the call, we will be hearing an update about activities in those two regions. It's worth noting at this point that we're trying something different in this call. In the past, we've taken questions toward the end of the call, but beginning today, we will take any questions you might have immediately after a presentation while the information is still fresh in everyone's mind. So if you have a question during a presentation and you are online, please type it into the box labeled Submit Questions Here. If you're on the phone, press #3. The operator will put you into the queue. Let me also add at this point that while this call is in English, it is being simultaneously translated into 6 additional languages, Spanish, French, Chinese, Russian, Arabic, and Portuguese. So if you are on one of those lines, same thing, just hit #3, then you can ask your question, and we will then hear the interpretation. So with that, let me go through today's agenda. And as I do, you'll note that our presenters today are really scattered all across the globe. We'll begin today with an update from ICANN President and CEO Joern Marby, who is with me here in Los Angeles. Then we'll go to Vienna, Austria, to get a board update from board member Shireen Chalabi, now that we've established a good phone connection with him. Following Shireen, we'll get a policy update from Marika Konings, who is in Costa Rica. Marika is the Senior Director of Policy Development and Support and Team Leader for the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or JNSO. We're working to try and get Marika a longer title there. Marika will then introduce Adiel Akpogan, our Vice President for Technical Engagement. Adiel will be joining us from Montreal, Canada, and he'll bring us up to date with what's going on in the numbers community. Then we'll go to the United Kingdom for a management update from Sally Costerton. Sally is a senior advisor to the President and senior vice president of global stakeholder engagement. Following Sally, we'll switch to Istanbul to hear a report focusing on developments in the Middle East and Africa. David Olive will be giving us that update. He is the senior vice president for policy development and support and the general manager of ICANN's regional office in Istanbul. And finally, we'll get a financial update from Xavier Calvez, who is with us here in Los Angeles. Xavier is, of course, our chief financial officer. Now, let me again mention that between each of these presentations, we will take your questions as time permits. So as you're listening, when a question comes to mind, again, type it into the question box. And if we get some questions that don't deal directly with the presentation that's just been given, we're going to hold those until the end of the call. Now, should we run out of time, or if you have additional questions after the session, please email them to engagement@icann.org. That email address, again, is engagement@icann.org. This session is being recorded, and links to the presentation materials will be posted to the ICANN website. You can also find the link in the Adobe Connect box titled Notes. Lastly, I'd like to remind you to mute your computer and phones. And with that, I'll introduce ICANN President and CEO Joern Marby. Joern?
Hello, everybody. We are starting this year very much focused on operation and execution. I continue to make organization enhancements. We are better able to support your work and operate in an open and transparent way. My priority post-transition remains to ensure we're operating according to and within our new bylaws and a revised mission, and to enact the priorities you as the community set forth. And I will touch on some of these in today's call. We started a budget planning process for ICANN's fiscal year 18, which runs from July this year to June 2018. Each year, we publish the budget with figures down to the project level for your consideration and input, and I look forward to developing this budget together. As you know, the IANA functions are now performed by PTI, per the processes and procedures created by the community. Last quarter, the IANA functions customer satisfaction survey results was published, and I'm pleased to say that we're still delivering solid services as demonstrated by the 94% overall satisfaction rate. A few weeks ago, we had an executive team meeting prior to the board workshop held in Los Angeles. We discussed many topics, and I know Shireen will share more on the board workshop in the next session. I also prepared a CEO report for the board that covered many organizational updates, which you can find on our website under President's Corner. I encourage you to read these materials if you're interested in what we are doing. I also is working on some more organization enhancements to improve accountability and transparency. For instance, we are working on clarifying many of ICANN's processes and procedures. We are creating manuals and flowcharts for policy development and implementation, advice and reviews processes. We know there are some ambiguities around this, which result in increased workload and an ability to deliver in an open and transparent way. We will create these flowcharts and manuals by building on existing materials and historical experience of these processes. The objective here is to clarify the processes for everybody's understanding. By clarifying this, it helps you to have a better understanding of what the ICANN organization is doing facilitating these processes. It also helps to clarify the roles and responsibilities between the ICANN organization, community, and the board. This will also allow us to better measure and track outcomes and impact. Additionally, these flowcharts and manuals will help readily identify where and how to address situations when recommendations, advice, or policies cannot, for various reasons, be successfully implemented by the ICANN organization. Example, where there is a disagreement among the community on the implementation of the recommendation, and ICANN organization becomes a mediator, or where it conflicts with other recommendation, advice, or policies not previously identified. This mapping exercise will also identify common what we call impasse areas, where there is no defined path forward if all the currently established mechanism to address issues have been exhausted. And I look forward to work together with you, and soon we are going to publish those materials. Looking ahead to ICANN 57, which is not too far away now, we will be holding an open Q&A session where you can ask the executive team and me any ICANN organization-related question. This is something new that we try to give you direct access to ask the ICANN organization questions in addition to the public forums. In the ICANN's organization's executive team, Jamie Hedlund is now heading up the consumer safeguards and contractual compliance function, a very important area in we are ensuring we act in line with our mission and core commitments. I also want to point out that the nominating committee, which is an independent committee tasked to select ICANN community leadership position, is seeking applications for several leadership roles in the ICANN community. It is very important to have a diverse, representative, and sustainable community. These leadership positions are a great way for you to become more involved and help to shape the Internet's technical coordination and policy development. The deadline to submit is March 21. Lastly, let me close on saying a few words about my fantastic trip to Africa in January, where I had the pleasure of visiting Addis Ababa in Ethiopia to visit the African Union and visiting our Nairobi engagement office. We organized a capacity-building workshop in partnership with the Communication Authority and the government of Kenya for the African GAC community. It is so important to have those discussions at the local level to increase participation in the community and create a positive impact in Africa. I was very encouraged by the level of turnout and participation and look forward to building on this momentum. I look forward to seeing many of you in Copenhagen ICANN 58. With that, I hand it over to Brad.
Thank you, Joran. We're seeing no questions either in the queue or on the phone line, So with that, we're going to go to Vienna, Austria, and Shireen Chalabi, a board member, for an update on the board activities. Shireen?
Hi, Brad. Can you hear me well?
We can hear you just fine, Shireen.
Thank you. So hi, everyone. I'm pleased to be here today to speak to you on behalf of the board and to share with you some of the activities the board has been doing lately. I've chosen to cover two topics that relate directly to a couple of board objectives. The first is an objective to increase our engagement and interaction with the community, and the second is to be more transparent about our work. So I'll start with engagement with the community. The board and some board members in some cases have participated in three events in the last 4 weeks. The first event was a virtual town hall organized by the Domain Name Association, DNA. The event was moderated by John Nevitt, the director of DNA. The discussion was focused on really an agenda chosen by DNA. And there was an agreement ahead of time that board members at that town hall would speak in their personal capacity. And I found that discussion was very, very lively and very interesting and engaging. The four topics we talked about were the next round of new GTLDs. The second one was market health index for GTLDs. The third was board interaction with global governance and the GAC post the transition. And the last topic was what's the most effective way to engage with the ICANN board. Obviously, no decisions were meant to take place in the town hall, but there was a good exchange of ideas and thoughts between the community and the board members. The second event was a webinar facilitated by Niels Stenover, the head of digital at Article 19 and the rapporteur for the cross-community working party on ICANN's corporate and social responsibility to respect human rights, and also by Patrick Penning. He's head of Information Society at the Council of Europe. So the purpose of that webinar was to create a dialogue and a discussion, again, between the community and board members, focusing on recommendation and a report recently published by the Council of Europe. The report provides in-depth analysis of ICANN policies and procedures with regards to community-based application from a human rights perspective. The dialogue was really interesting and lively. The third event that took place was in Los Angeles when we were there for the workshop between the board and the two co-chairs of RSEC, Tripti Sinha and Brad Third. Tripti and Brad gave an excellent briefing, really excellent briefing, on the latest developments surrounding the security and stability of the root server system. And this was followed by a Q&A. The discussion became very lively and very informative, particularly when the subject of the root server system came into the discussion and how it is continuing to increase its robustness through the expanded use of Anycast and the potential of highly distributed DNSSEC signed copies of the root zone. After the meeting, we continued over lunch, and Tripti and Brad joined us. So those were really three events that I wanted to talk to you, but in my view, they are a good example of how the board wishes to engage more frequently with the community. And I sincerely hope we do more of that moving forward. Now I'd like to give you an insight into the workshop that the board just held in Los Angeles from the 1st to the 3rd of February, really so that you get a view of what is it we do in these workshops. But just to recap for everyone's benefit, the board holds 6 workshops a year. 3 of those workshops are held at the beginning of each ICANN public meeting, so approximately March, June, and October. So we will have a workshop at ICANN in Copenhagen when we arrive in the beginning of March. And the 3 other workshops are held in between these ICANN public meetings approximately February, May, and September. And each workshop lasts about 3 days. So what did we do on each one of those 3 days in Los Angeles? Well, the first day was reserved mainly for board committee meetings. So we try and have board committees on the first day and get this out of the way and deal with it. And when possible also, the board has some working groups. They also meet on that day. So for example, there's a board working group focusing on improving trust between the board and the community. They held a meeting in Los Angeles on that day. So having dispensed with committee meetings and board working groups on the first day, we reserved day two and three for full board discussion, topics that really required the full board to be together and discuss together. And we start each day early, around 8, 8.30, and finish in the evening around 6.30 or 7, about a 10 to 11 hours day. And we, in Los Angeles, we organize these 2 days along five blocks of work. Each block will present a key responsibility that the board has. So I'm going to take you through a description of those five blocks, and what is it we try to achieve in each one of those blocks, and what are the type of topics we discuss in those blocks. So the first block, we call it the oversight of policy development and cross-community initiatives. This block was led by Becky Burr, and our key objective here is to make sure that the board is well informed of the content, the priority, the timing of all policies being developed by the community, so that the board is ready to approve these policies when submitted to the board. And an example of those topics would be an update on Workstream 2 accountability, and the other example would be SIC Who Is and data privacy. So that's block one. Block two is oversight of ICANN.org. The ICANN board, as you know, has a responsibility, an oversight responsibility over ICANN.org. This block was led by Rhonda Silva, and our objective here is to ensure that ICANN.org is delivering operational excellence and service to our community. So example of topics would be review of ICANN.org's KPIs. And another example would be a deep dive into a major initiative undertaken by ICANN.org. The third block, we call it the strategic and forward thinking. And this is another responsibility for the board. This block was led by Ram Mohan. And our objective here is to monitor on a regular basis the implementation of the strategic plan, as well as monitor external forces and trends, whether they're technical, political, or market, and how they are at work and how they assess, and what's the assessment of their impact on ICANN. So an example of topics would be issues that happen in the domain name space. From a technical point of view, what's their impact on ICANN? Another topic would be ICANN's internationalization office strategy. What do we do with regional offices? What do we do with hubs, et cetera, et cetera? How do we service the demand from our community? These are typical type of topics in that section. The fourth block is what we call the governance and fiduciary responsibility. This was led by Martin Bofferman. Our objective here is to discharge the board's fiduciary, legal, and financial responsibilities. So a typical example of that would be the review and approval of the ICANN budget, because we do have a fiduciary responsibility towards that, including, of course, the IANA budget and the PTI budget as part of that. The next fifth block and the last block is what we call community engagement and external relationships. And this block was led by Lito Ibarra. And our objective here is really to support ICANN.org's two groups. The first group is the Global Stakeholder Engagement Group, and the second, the Governments and IGOs Engagement Group. And our aim is to support them meet their strategic objectives. So example of a topic we discussed in Los Angeles was ICANN's level of participation and support in the National and Global Internet Governance Forums, or IGF. As these remain very important forums for ICANN, and you probably will hear later on this call about our recent participation in the IGF in Guadalajara. So those were the five blocks, and I mentioned the word block lead for each one of them. So let me just touch briefly on the responsibility of each block lead. The responsibility of each block lead is to identify the topics to be discussed under each block, then introduce these topics at the board workshop, and summarize the actions resulting from the board discussion on each one of these topics. And this is our way to give responsibilities to many board members, in addition to board members that are chairmen of committees, who then engage other board members in the work we do. And our intent is every year to reappoint new block leads so that we share the workload and experience among all the board members. Now, in addition to these blocks of work, the board very importantly interacts with the CEO during the workshop in two ways. First, there's an hour-long session entitled CEO Dialogue with the Board. During that session, the board meets with Joran alone without any of his executives. It is a free-format session during which Joran shares openly with the board any issues he has on his mind. This type of informal dialogue is very beneficial for building trust and understanding between the board and the CEO. The second way of interacting with the CEO was through another hour-long session where the CEO and his executive team answered questions from board members on the CEO report to the board, the formal report that Joran has mentioned to you earlier. He circulates this report about 10 days before the workshop. And the report, as you probably will read, includes a summary of activities and issues for each department under Joran. So the board members receive that 10 days earlier. All the board members read this report before the workshop. Hence, no presentation is needed in this session. We dive immediately on the Q&A session without wasting time. And if you haven't read this report, I really recommend that you read it. It's very excellent and it's very comprehensive. So that's what we do in a normal workshop, and we are going to do exactly the same in Copenhagen. So there's Friday, there's some committee meetings, other meetings in Copenhagen. Then the ICANN board workshop is going to take place on the Saturday and Sunday. And then we will have topics for full board discussions during those days. So that concludes the update. I hope you found it useful, and thank you for listening. Brad, back to you.
Thank you, Shireen. Appreciate the information, particularly on the board workshops. We're now going to go to Costa Rica to Marika Konings, who is going to give us a policy update. When Marika finishes, she's going to introduce Adil Akplogan, our Vice President of Technical Engagement, who will give us a rundown and tell us what's going on in the numbers community. Marika?
Thank you very much, Brad. As you may know, ICANN's policy development work relating to the technical coordination functions are formed and refined by the ICANN community. Specifically, it is done by the three supporting organizations and influenced by four advisory committees. It's very much in tune with our organization's bottom-up, multi-stakeholder, open and transparent process. Other internet policy and technical organizations are also involved in policy development. Groups such as the Internet Engineering Task Force and the Regional Internet Registry. To paint a more complete picture of policy development activities, today's policy update will cover the work of several ICANN groups, specifically the Generic Name Supporting Organization, the Country Code Name Supporting Organization, the Numbers Resource Organization, and the Address Supporting Organization. I'm going to speak about the first two, the GNSO and the CCNSO, and if in a few minutes, my colleague Adil Akplogan will talk about the NRO and the ASO. If we go to the next slide, this shows the highlights of the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or GNSO. Those include, for this quarter, the approval of the final framework for future cross-community working groups. These were developed by a cross-community working group chartered jointly by the GNSO and the CCNSO. It saw the appointment of Carlos Raul Gutierrez as GNSO liaison to the Governmental Advisory Committee, or GAC. The GNSO also adopted the GAC GNSO Consultation Group final report, which contains a number of recommendations aimed at facilitating GAC early engagement in GNSO policy development. The GNSO Review Working Group Implementation Plan was also adopted and sent to the ICANN board for its consideration during Q1. The GNSO also adopted and sent to the board its review of the GAC communique from Hyderabad. And the GNSO named supporting organization accepted the final report of the GNSO bylaws drafting team. This group was tasked with identifying all the new or additional rights and responsibilities that the GNSO has under the revised bylaws. This included, but was not limited to, participation of the GNSO within the empowered community. It was also tasked with developing new or modified structures that might be necessary to fully implement these new or additional rights and responsibilities. The GNSO is currently working to translate these recommendations into proposed changes to the ICANN bylaws and or GNSO operating procedures. The GNSO also confirmed its conditional participation as a chartering organization for the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance. Its participation is predicated on a comprehensive review of the working group's charter in accordance with the CW framework as I referenced before. The expectation is that this review will be completed and presented by the time ICANN 58 begins. The GNSO Council also adopted the charter for a cross-community working group on new GTLD auction proceeds. It also appointed 5 members to this CCWG, including Jonathan Robinson, who is a GNSO appointed co-chair to the CCWG. At ICANN 57, James Bladel was reconfirmed as a GNSO chair for another year, and Donna Austin and Heather Forrest were re-elected to serve as vice chairs for the GNSO Council. The GNSO currently has 9 policy development processes in progress, which will continue to be a focus for the next quarter. And naturally, these are various stages of the policy development process, or PDP, a life cycle. Issues that are currently being addressed in the working group phase of the PDP include new GTLD subsequent procedures, the review of all rights protection mechanisms, or RPMs, in all generic top-level domains, or GTLDs, the next generation registration directory services to replace WHOIS, and finally, the use of curative rights mechanisms to protect the names of IGO and INGOs. The CCNSO is continuing its work on the implementation of the IANA stewardship transition and ICANN accountability proposals. This work last quarter resulted in the adoption of new internal guidelines on the selection and nomination of members on specific review teams, such as for the security, stability, and resiliency, and the registration directory services. The working group responsible for developing these guidelines is now focusing on the specific aspects of the empowered community mechanisms that relate to the CCNSO. Let me also mention a few items relating to the CCNSO policy-related work. The CCNSO Working Group on the Extended Process Similarity Review Panel finalized its report after the closure of the public comment period. The draft was presented to the community during the Hyderabad meeting. As a result of what it heard, this group has continued to work on the report, and the final updates have now been considered by the CCNSO Council. As was mentioned in the last overview summary, the CCNSO has launched a combined policy effort on the retirement of CCTLDs. This is a key process for which no policy currently exists. Work is also progressing on the development of policy recommendations for a review mechanism that will deal with decisions pertaining to the delegation, revocation, transfer, and retirement of CCTLDs. This review mechanism was explicitly excluded from the accountability and stewardship proposals, so the development of a policy is considered a high priority. The community has been invited to define the scope of the processes and issues that need to be resolved. This will be done by drafting the charters of the working group needed to address the two efforts. The charters and definitions of scope will be included in the issue report. This issue report is expected to be available and presented to the community by the Copenhagen meeting, ICANN 58. Now I want to introduce Adiel Aplogan, VP of Technical Engagement. Adiel will give an update on behalf of the ASO and NRO.
Thank you, Marika. as you all know, a significant part of the policy work of the ASO members take place at the regional level through the RAR and their community. So in this part of the update, we will give you an overview of what has happened since the last call. In terms of structure, the ASO-SC has recently selected Phyllis Yimlaz from RIPE NTC region as its new chair. Louis Lee from Aran region and Ricardo Patera from LACNIC will continue to serve as vice chairs of the ISO-SC. We want to extend our congratulations to the new chair and the vice chairs. Since January 1st, the NRO Executive Council has, as usual, rotated its offices, with now John Curran, the CEO of IRIN, now serving as its chair, while Paul Wilson, the Director General of APNIC, as secretary, and Alan Barrett, the CEO of AFRINIC, as the new treasurer. We look forward to continue working with this new leadership team. On activity side, the ASO is planning its annual meeting during ICAM 58 in Copenhagen. Further detail of the agenda of this meeting will be published soon online, so we encourage you to check the ICAM 58 meeting agenda regularly. When we were preparing this presentation, the NRO was reviewing the proposal it has received for conducting an independent review of the ASO. This review is now completed, and ITEMS International has been selected to perform the review. The Number Service Review Committee has welcomed two new members, Omo Oyaya from AFRINIC and Badges Jane from APNIC has joined the group. As you may recall, this committee is one of the key elements of the Number Community proposal for the IANA function stewardship transition. It has mainly the responsibility to monitor the good execution of the service level agreement that is signed between ICANN and the RARs. The NRO and the ASO have continued to participate and be represented in the CCWG's Accountability Workstream 2 discussion by a few representatives who have there Izumi Okutani, George Villa, Fiona Songa, Atina Farkuli, and Michael Abiduela. The area are going to have a series of public policy meetings coming up. APNIC 43 is happening in Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam, 20th February to 2 March. ARIN 39 for North America region in New Orleans in the USA, 2 to 5 April. RIPE 74 in Budapest, Hungary, 8 to 12 May. LACNIC 88 in Foz de Lagoçu in Brazil, 22nd to 26 May. And AFRINIC 26 in Nairobi, Kenya, 29 May to 2 June 2017. As most of the policy development work related to number resources management happen at the regional level, the interested community member who want to contribute and participate are welcome to attend those meetings, which are usually open for anyone to join. You can read more about this update on the NRO website at www.nro.net. Thank you for your attention. We'll head back to Brett for any additional questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Adiel. I'm seeing no questions for either Marika or Adiel.
So in that context, we're now going to go to the United Kingdom for a management update from Sally Costerton. Sally?
Thanks, Brad. Can you hear me?
Very clearly.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, everybody. As Joran mentioned earlier, the ICANN organization has been focused on enhancing processes and procedures so that we're better equipped to support the community's work. I'll give a brief update on many of the services the ICANN organization provides for the community. Since the transition of the IANA functions to the multi-stakeholder community, these services are now provided by an entity called Public Technical Identifiers, or PTI. I am pleased to report that results from the 2016 IANA Department's Customer Satisfaction Survey shows a 94% overall satisfaction rating. This lines up with previous years, but that said, we're still looking for ways to improve. The group that is now responsible for monitoring PTI's performance is the Customer Standing Committee, and I'm pleased to report that during the previous quarter, the committee determined that PTI met the IANA naming function service level agreement. The core services provided by PTI are the requests for names, numbers, and protocol parameters. So I'd like to take a minute to talk about those requests. PTI processed 501 domain-related requests. 994 requests were related to protocol parameter registries, and 404 were general inquiries. There were no requests involving number allocations, and only one dealing with the key signing ceremony in Culpeper, Virginia. The key signing ceremonies are always public. They are rigorous and tightly controlled procedures that involve signing the root DNS zone's public keying information. Basically, this assures that internet users can trust the integrity and authenticity of information. It will soon be time to roll or update the root key signing key, marking the first time the KSK has been changed since it was initially generated in 2010. This effort to change the DNS spec keys is critically important to help secure the DNS and marks good security protocol in much the same way that we regularly change any password. The Office of the CTO is heading up this major initiative. Currently, we're focused on raising awareness amongst stakeholders and the general public. At the same time, we're trying to make certain there will be no disruption or noticeable impact to users of the internet. The Open Data Initiative pilot, which kicked off in Hyderabad, aims to make some of ICANN's data available to the public. This may include things like GTLD zone files, the service level monitoring data for registries and registrars, amongst other information. Our intention is to be as transparent as possible with our data for the community's benefit. We're also looking at how to measure the health of the internet's unique identifiers. A public comment period closed late January, and we're currently reviewing the input received. ICANN continues to work closely with law enforcement agencies around the world. In October, a botnet attack against DNS infrastructure caused major internet disruptions across the US and Europe. ICANN worked closely with Europol to provide expertise on the DNS infrastructure and ICANN's policies and processes. Such relationships with law enforcement agencies are key to clarifying ICANN's scope and remit whilst working together to protect the stability, security, and resiliency of the internet. We also started collecting data for an IPv6 readiness assessment of ICANN's infrastructure applications. On the technology side, we also have some new and exciting IT infrastructure to better support the community and organization. In November, the organization rolled out its first enterprise resource planning system. It is aimed at streamlining back office functions, including HR, procurement, and finance. This is a sign of a mature organization, and it will help us to simplify and standardize our global operations. For our contracted parties, we continue to work hard on the new Global Domain Division portal. Initially, the portal will be used to manage registry services. In the future, we also plan to support registrar and compliance services, and we'll share more about this in the coming months. For the community, a new governmental advisory committee website leveraging .cms, ICANN's newly acquired content management system, was demonstrated during ICANN 57. It was well received by the community, and a beta release is currently available to the GAC. The full release is being scheduled in consultation with the GAC. Now, let me give you an update on reviews. These are mandated by ICANN's bylaws to assess how well ICANN and its supporting organizations and advisory committees are operating effectively, achieving their purpose and remaining accountable to the multi-stakeholder community. Three specific reviews: the second Security, Stability and Resiliency Review, the Registration Directory Service Review, formerly WHOIS Review, and the third Accountability and Transparency Review, all initiated their calls for volunteers. Review team members are then selected by the supporting organization and advisory committee leadership as per the new post-transition process. The specific review of competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice is now in its final stages and is currently developing its draft to be published for public comments in February. The draft report for the second at-large organizational review is currently out for public comments until the 28th of March. The GNSO organizational review, GNSO 2, is now in its implementation phase. The GNSO Council approved the GNSO Review Recommendations Implementation Plan developed by the GNSO Review Working Group for 34 out of 36 recommendations, containing a realistic timeline for the implementation and definition of desired outcomes. It is pending the Board's acceptance of the implementation plan before work begins. Now allow me to update you on the Global Domains Division. This is where policy is set by the community and approval by the Board gets implemented. And it's where many of our core services of community support are performed. At the end of 2016, there were a total of 1,229 registry agreements signed and a total of 1,215 new GTLDs delegated. Net auction proceeds currently total approximately $233 million. These monies are reserved and separated from ICANN's operational funds in accordance with the new GTLD applicant guidebook. A cross-community working group has been formed to develop proposals for allocating these auction proceeds. Our Global Support Center provides support to contracted parties, new GTLD applicants, and the broader internet community. This team met its service targets for responding to and resolving cases. Here's the breakdown. About 90% of cases received got responses, and 97% were resolved within the 7-day window target. In the last quarter, there was a slight increase in its caseload. Approximately 2,800 cases were opened and about 2,700 were resolved. On the internationalized domain names front, we continue to advance our efforts to make the internet more global and accessible in all languages and scripts. In October, the Greek script community formed a panel to develop label generation rules, which will be used to govern the way the root zone is operated. Additionally, the Lao and Thai script communities finalized their root zone label generation rules proposals, bringing the total to 6 after Arabic, Armenian, Georgian, and Khmer. Let's touch on a few other key highlights from the last quarter. In December, the ICANN organization implemented a framework to help internet users to avoid confusion between country code domain names and two-letter domain names. As a result, ICANN authorized the release of over 280,000 additional labels at the second level for registry operators subject to these measures. In late December, we published the staff report from the public comment process on the proposed amendments to the base new GTLD registry agreement. It includes an analysis section which basically details discussions between ICANN and the working group after public comments were received. Several new reports were also published during the quarter, including an updated WHOIS accuracy reporting system. It shows that nearly all WHOIS records contain information that can be used to establish immediate contact via email or telephone. We also published the first update to the GTLD Marketplace Health Index. It presents statistics and trends related to GTLDs and tracks progress against ICANN's goal of supporting the evolution of the domain name marketplace. Additional activities included opening public comment and publishing a summary report for the Phase 2 assessment for the competitive effects associated with the new GTLD program. Public comment also opened on the draft report on the continuous data-driven analysis of root server system stability. It also deals with policies surrounding the revised registry registration data directory service consistent labeling and display. A summary report on this was published in early January. The public comment process is essential to obtaining input from global stakeholders. I want to take this opportunity to encourage participants in this call to visit the public comment section on ICANN.org regularly and participate in this important process. Another important process is that of contractual compliance. It is aimed at proactively monitoring and working with our contracted parties to ensure compliance with policies and agreements. Allow me to drill into this a little bit more. The contractual compliance audit program is ongoing. Last quarter, we launched another round of the 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement audit. This is the contract that governs ICANN and its accredited registrars. In this audit, a total of 55 registrars were selected for the audit. Of this, 46 were full audits and 9 were follow-up audits to confirm previous issues had been resolved. The preliminary audit reports were issued to those selected at the end of January. Last quarter, the overall volume of complaints we received increased slightly compared to the previous quarter. The closure rate decreased but still remained above the target figure due to increased volume of complaints received over the holiday shutdown. For more information and reports, please visit the contractual compliance page on our website. Now, moving to the engagement update. We have several programs to support a growing, diverse and sustainable community at ICANN meetings. ICANN 57 set the record for the largest number of participants ever, with over 3,100 checked in, of which over 1,900 were newcomers and 1,300 of those newcomers from India. This large turnout from India was mostly due to strong engagement on the ground with the local community. The fellowship program had 47 fellows at ICANN 57, and the Next Gen program, which focuses on building a sustainable community, had 15 participants. Let's look at the broader stakeholder engagement activities. During the last quarter, there were over 200 events in 56 countries with outreach to more than 8,000 people. We also facilitated more than 15 training events for DNSSEC, DNS marketing, and internet governance issues in the different regions, one of which was the first Eastern European DNS forum in Kiev, Ukraine. We also continue our efforts to raise awareness of ICANN's role in the internet ecosystem through our government engagement function. What you see here on the slide is just a sample of activities. We attended several events in an effort to explain the implementation process and work stream 2 on enhancing ICANN's accountability to encourage participation. One main achievement last quarter was the successful engagement in this 2016 Global Internet Governance Forum in Guadalajara. This was the first global forum since the UN renewed the IGF mandate for another 10 years. Finally, further to standard delegation process, I can announce that today, .Africa has been delegated to the Root Zone. And with that, I will hand it back to Brad.
Thank you, Sally, and thank you for that late-breaking news on the delegation of .Africa. We're now going to go to, there's no questions I might add for Sally, either online or on the phone, so we're going to go to David Olive, who is in Istanbul. We had some connection problems with David earlier. We think we have those resolved. If we lose David, I'll pick up his presentation, but hopefully we won't. David?
Thank you, Brad, and I thank everyone for being on the call. I am again speaking from Istanbul and at our third Domain Name Systems Forum, where we have this as part of our program, and in the audience we have our Turkish stakeholders listening in to our reports. Our hub for this sprawling region opened in Istanbul in May 2013, covering our operations across Europe, the Middle East, Eastern Europe, Central Asia, and Africa. To date, our staff strength consists of 53 members, about 20 of whom are based in the Istanbul hub. We cover 11 key functions, including policy development support, contractual compliance, registry and registrar services, stakeholder engagement, communications, ICANN meetings, global contact services, human resources, information technology, administration, and board operations. Over the past few years, our activities and engagement have increased significantly across this big region. And I should note that much of our work involves collaborative efforts with our regional stakeholders and participation in many internet-related events that help promote ICANN and the multi-stakeholder model. In this quarterly stakeholder call, we will provide a focus and an update on two of our four regions, the Middle East and Africa. And I'd like to recognize my colleagues, Bahar Esmat, who heads our activities in the Middle East, and Pierre Dangeneau, who heads our activities in Africa, for their contributions. In the next slide, we have some examples of our stakeholders in this region. As you can see, we provide assistance to 398 registries that are spread across 30 countries. And as regards to the two regions we're talking about today, you'll note 13 of those are from South Africa and 15 are from the United Arab Emirates. In our next slide, we look at registrars, and we also work with 192 registrars spread across 40 countries. As you can see, five are based in the United Arab Emirates. Now let's move to the strategy framing the Middle East and adjoining countries. There has been a concerted community-led effort to determine the strategy that will guide our engagement in the Middle East and adjoining countries. It is built on the previous strategy from 2013 to 2016, and now I'd like to run through a brief chronology that helps detail the strategy and how it was created. In June 2016, a working group composed of 48 community members and two observers started their work following a three-month consultation process. The group spent 4 months in developing its regional strategy, extending it from 2016 to 2019. The draft strategy was posted for public comments. Public comments were received, and the final document was published on December 7, 2016. The strategy working group finalized the year one implementation plan and published that on the 29th of December of 2016. The next slide talks about the mission statement for which the strategy is built, noting it attract more active and engaged participants from the Middle East and adjoining country region to contribute to ICANN's policy development processes and to acquire leading roles within the ICANN community. Now, in fulfilling its objectives, the strategy identified three areas of focus: support secure, stable, and resilient DNS infrastructure in that region, promote a healthy and competitive domain name marketplace, and clarify ICANN's role in an evolving internet ecosystem through engagement with the Middle East and adjoining country community. Our priorities for year one of the implementation plan are to develop a tailored and customized program engaging the stakeholders from academia, civil society, government, among others. Supporting the DNS Entrepreneurship Center in developing local expertise to help grow the domain name market in this region, and developing local capacities through train-the-trainer type programs to support capacity building. And in that regard, in the next slide, the last quarter, several capacity building workshops were held aimed at deepening community engagement with ICANN. One was a domain name security workshop in Ankara, Turkey, that we conducted in partnership with the Network Information Center, and that drew about 30 participants talking about the importance of DNS security. We also held 3 workshops for law enforcement agencies in the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, and Lebanon. These sessions focused on how to investigate DNS abuse and misuse. We launched a youth education initiative in partnership with the Tunisian Research and Education Network, and this initiative consists of 2 very well-received workshops. There were about 235 university students in attendance, and topics included ICANN's role and structure, how the domain name system works, and how to run a stable and secure domain name system operation. Thanks should also be noted to ICANN community members, to Johnny Benjama and Walfa Dalmani from the at-large community for helping us organize this event. And then the Domain Name Entrepreneurship Center held its first workshop in Africa in Kanatu, Benin in December. The center is a 2-year partnership between ICANN and the NTRA of Egypt and focus on domain name business and marketing plans. In the next slide, we talk about the task force that is actively involved with the Arabic script internationalized domain names. This is a key project of the Middle East region because of the importance of these international domain names for the Arabic script community. It was formed in October 2013 and stemmed from the regional strategy of 2013. ICANN helped facilitate the task force's holistic approach to addressing the needs of the Arabic script community. It consists of 35 members from more than 10 countries, covering more than 10 languages that use the Arabic script. Membership is open to anyone who wishes to join and participate. It was the first linguistic group to tackle the label generation rule at the root level and made their final submissions at ICANN 55 in Marrakesh. We conduct teleconferences on a biweekly basis and have held 5 face-to-face meetings so far, and one took place in Istanbul in September of 2016. Looking ahead at the next slide, we see the deepening ICANN work in the Middle East. We will continue to engage our stakeholders and to encourage participation in the ICANN processes while we provide the capacity building, training, and overall support to our stakeholders there. Now let me give you an update on the African region. In the slide looking at the overarching objectives of the African Strategy 2016 to 2020, our strategy was divided into 2 objectives that we have pursued over the last 4 years. 1, transform the domain name system and internet industry in Africa, and 2, promote awareness and increase Africa's participation in ICANN. I'd like to highlight a few key activities from the quarter. And the next slide talks about, the next few slides talk about a sample of our regional events where we participated. In total, there were over 18 events engaging a variety of stakeholders. We also initiated important partnerships with the African government and regulatory entities to further promote ICANN's work and multi-stakeholder model. Next, I would like to highlight 2 significant meetings, 2 premier events so far, one which was noted by our CEO, Yoren Marby, and that was the African stakeholders holding a briefing in October. This marked the launch of our new Nairobi Engagement Office. This was the first ever gathering on ICANN and its multi-stakeholder model, which saw an active participation from government entities, the business sector, academia, and user communities at large. Additionally, in January of this year, we organized a capacity building event in partnership with the Communications Authority and the Government of Kenya for the African Government Advisor Committee community. It was again a first event of its kind and drew more than 60 people from 18 countries. It focused on awareness and assisted in building the capacity of the African Governmental Advisory Committee representatives and their respective governments. There was a focus on ICANN's policy making, as well as the critical and relevant policy topics of the day. Discussions involved working groups, including relevant governmental advisory committee and cross-community working groups that require the immediate attention and participation of government advisory committee members. The next slide looks at deepening ICANN's work in Africa. Going forward, we'll continue focusing on outreach. Using the successful capacity building workshop in Nairobi, we want to further consolidate our engagements with Africa's government advisory committee representatives. We are also asking our community to support our efforts in spreading the word about ICANN, and we are specifically asking the domain name system community to help finalize our domain name system market study report so it can be formally presented during ICANN 58 in Copenhagen. With that, I complete the report, and I will hand it back to you, Brad. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Appreciate that. There's no questions for David, so we're going to go to my colleague, our CFO, Xavier Calvez, here in Los Angeles, for a financial update. Xavier?
Thank you, Brad. I'm Xavier Calvez, ICANN's Chief Financial Officer. I will present our financials for the first half of fiscal year 17, running from July 2016 to December 2016. I will start with an overview of ICANN's financial reporting structure to help understand the information that follows. Then we will review ICANN's financial performance for the period. ICANN's organization's financial reporting structure includes two main areas, the ICANN operations in blue and the new GTLD program in orange. Each area is supported by dedicated funds under management, appearing in gray at the bottom of the slide. ICANN operations includes our funding, mainly from contracted parties, the baseline expenses, and the INS stewardship transition project expenses. Baseline expenses include the ongoing costs of the ICANN operations and the costs of the INS functions, mainly performed by the newly formed legal entity Public Technical Identifiers, or PTI. The new GTLD program is a $360 million multi-year program launched in 2012 to create new top-level domains. The funds under management include ICANN operations funds, new GTLD program funds, and new GTLD auction proceeds. Now let's review ICANN's financial performance for the first half of the year, beginning with an overview of the ICANN operations. Overall, ICANN operations financial position reflects an excess of $4 million compared to a budgeted deficit of $2 million. This favorable position compared to plan is resulting from funding slightly above budget by $1 million and baseline expenses below budget by $5 million, partially offset by slightly higher costs for the INS stewardship transition expenses. We will review this financial position further in detail in the next slides, starting with ICANN operations funding. ICANN operations funding results mainly from two drivers. First, the number of domain name annual registrations resulting in transaction fees, and second, the number of parties under contract with ICANN driving annual fixed fees collected from registries and registrars. Funding is slightly ahead of target, primarily due to the following drivers. First, registrars' fixed fees are above budget as a result of the applications for new registrars' accreditations that occurred during the first 6 months of fiscal year 2017. ICANN budgets conservatively the number of new accreditations due to the unpredictable nature of this event. Then domain name registrations for both registries and registrars, which drive the transaction fees, were below budget due to lower growth in transactions in the first half. The other income, which consists of sponsorships and contributions, are slightly ahead of budget. And lastly, registry fixed fees are on budget as the number of top-level domains in operation is consistent with expectations. We will now focus on our baseline expenses compared to the budget and to last year, for fiscal year 2016. Our main category of expenses is personnel costs on the left of this graph, representing about half of our total expenses. Personnel costs are below budget by 9%, mainly driven by an average headcount of 340 versus 364 and lower average compensation than planned. Travel and administration costs are relatively flat to budget, while the spend in professional services and capital reflect various timing differences versus plan, resulting in net favorability to budget. Let's now look at the costs of the IANA stewardship transition project. Expenses for the IANA stewardship transition project are relatively flat to budget for the first half of the fiscal year in total. The expenses for this project primarily consist of personnel support and legal fees in support of the intensive implementation preparation, including the creation of the PTI entity and the drafting of bylaws and of several contracts that occurred earlier in the fiscal year. We will now review the financials of the new GTLD program. The new GTLD expenses are slightly higher than budget, mainly driven by the defense costs incurred and auction fees incurred, which are not budgeted for. These unbudgeted costs are partially offset by a favorable variance of refunds resulting from a lower number of withdrawn applications than anticipated during the period. Let's now look at the status of the funds under our management. ICANN operations funds, on the left, represent the cash on hand used to fund ICANN's day-to-day operations, as well as reserves to face unexpected events or economic uncertainties. The ICANN operating fund reflects an increase mainly due to collections from the previous quarter's funding and reimbursements from the reserve fund for the IANA stewardship transition costs incurred from January through June 2016. This is partially offset by payments to employees and vendors during the first half of the fiscal year. The reduction of the reserve fund corresponds to the reimbursement to the operating fund of the IANA stewardship transition expenses. On the right, the new GTLD program-related funds include the new GTLD funds and the auction proceeds. The new GTLD funds are the unspent portion of application fees collected in 2012 that are used exclusively to pay for expenses of the new GTLD program and refunds to withdrawing applicants. The auction proceeds, as Sally indicated earlier during this call, result from the net proceeds collected from the auctions. The new GTLD auctions is a process that ICANN offers as a last resort mechanism to resolve contended sets of similar strings. The new GTLD funds decreased as a result of the evaluation expenses incurred and the application fees refunded as a result of withdrawals. The auction proceeds increased as a result of the .web and .web's auction proceeds collected in August 2016. This concludes the financial overview for the first half of the fiscal year. More financial information is available in the appendix of this presentation and on our website. I will now hand it back to Brad, who will moderate the session on Q&A.
Thank you, Xavier. Xavier, we've got one question from Donna Austin from Newstar. What's the split between travel and meetings?
Thank you, Brad, and thank you, Donna. The approximate split between travel and meetings for this specific period is driven by the fact that we had one ICANN meeting during the 6 month period. This is the ICANN 57 meeting in Hyderabad. And the costs incurred for that large ICANN meeting are approximately $4 million. And the rest of the travel and meetings costs represent travel of staff or possibly board members, as well as possibly constituent travelers during the period to attend various events. Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier. We have no other questions either online or on the phone line. So with that, we're going to shut this down. I should note, however, that we have many people view a recording of this presentation. Again, this recording of the presentation is posted on the website. So if anyone either on the line currently or in the future has any questions, please email them to engagement@icann.org. Again, that email address, engagement@icann.org, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. So with that, we'd like to thank all participants and wish everybody a good day or a good night.
Well, you surely got not only an introduction to ICANN for newcomers, you got an introduction in detail from the CEO and other senior members of our executive team. And so as a reward, please join me upstairs on the top floor for our reception. And I thank you very much for your time and effort today. We'll see you at the reception. Thank you.